Some of the hymns which we sing only around this time of the year were not written necessarily to be only sung at Christmas time, but that's the way things have developed over the years. Joy to the World, that's a hymn I like to sing all the year long. Joy to the World. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want us to look at the first three verses in this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The way men divided our Bibles into chapters and verses leaves between chapter 10 and chapter 11 this matter of faith. If you look back to chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, the writer said, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, as we begin chapter 11, we are given many examples of men and women who were the just, and they lived by faith. In other words, they were justified by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, the promised Messiah. And they not only trusted, they began to know the Lord, but they continued. They lived by faith. And if you look down in chapter 11 and verse 13, they died in the faith. These all died in faith. I was watching a program recently, and the man said, "I lost my faith." And I thought to myself, a faith that can be lost is not a faith that God has given. It's not the faith that is the gift of God. It's not saving faith if a person can lose their faith. When God gives faith, and that person is enabled then to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to know Him as his Lord and Savior, he's going to continue to know Christ, continue to believe, and yes, he will eventually die in the faith, just like these that are mentioned here in this 11th chapter. But now these first three verses tonight, first, we're given a definition of faith, verse 1. Now, one of the writers that I have read as we've studied through this letter of Hebrews, he said this, the pinnacle, that is the top, the pinnacle of the writers, the writer of Hebrews, the pinnacle of the writer's theological argument in this whole letter concerns the new covenant. The new covenant, which is mentioned back in Hebrews chapter 8 and verses 7 through 13. And then, of course, it's mentioned again in chapter 10. But in chapter 8, verse 7, we read, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. There's no mention in those verses of Scripture about faith when he recites to us the new covenant. There's no mention of faith, but yet we know that faith is a very integral part of this new covenant. On God's part, we come into the covenant. How is a person brought into the covenant? But on God's part, first of all, by election. And then, of course, by calling and by regeneration. But on our part, we come in when we are regenerated and given faith. We believe in Christ. We know Christ. He said, They shall not teach every man his neighbor. Know ye the Lord, for all shall know him. When we are brought into this covenant, as far as by our experience, we have faith. We believe in Christ. Let me point us back to a verse, if you will, in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The everlasting covenant, we know, was made with all of God's children in Christ as their head from everlasting. But when a person is called, effectual calling, when a person is called by the Spirit of God, it is then made by the Holy Spirit to trust in Christ, given faith to trust in Christ, to believe in Christ. So we make a covenant with Him. By faith, we enter in and experience this covenant of grace, this everlasting covenant. Now, if you go back with me to our text, there are two things mentioned in this definition of faith. The writer connects two aspects of the new covenant. There are things hoped for and things not seen. Things hoped for and things not seen. And remember the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and verse 24, he uses these two things when speaking about salvation, about a person being saved. He said, For we are saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? So we see these two parts, if I might use that term, that which is, are things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. The things connected with the old covenant, they were things that were seen. They were things which were seen. And it's probably true that those to whom this letter was directed at first, that may have been one of their problems. They were having a hard time turning loose from things which are seen, to laying hold by faith on things which are invisible, things which are not seen. For example, they were accustomed to a visible temple. Now, when the law was given, of course, it was a tabernacle. But we know Over a period of time, when Solomon became king, he built that beautiful temple. Then that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. When they came back out of 70 years captivity, they were given permission by the king of Persia, Cyrus, to rebuild the temple. And they began to build. And they built on it a long time. Remember when our Lord said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He was speaking of the temple of his body, but they thought he was talking about that physical temple. And they knew it had been years and years in the building. And Herod, who was the king at this time, he had beautified that temple during his reign to a large extent. It was a beautiful temple in the time when Christ was here. But that was visible. You could see it. I mean, it had gold, from what I remember, had gold on the top of it some way when the sun shined on it. You could see it for a great distance off. It was visible. But now, this new covenant, we're dealing with things which are invisible, things which are hoped for. And this place, if you look back to chapter 9, the invisible is a heavenly sanctuary. That was an earthly sanctuary. A sanctuary connected with the old covenant was a sanctuary that was visible, a sanctuary that might be seen. But now, with the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, look here in chapter 9 and verse 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, which we know he has entered into that heavenly sanctuary. We can't see that. We can't see. We can see the heavens where the stars are, but we can't see that place where God as his throne. It is a place. It is a place because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. We can't see it. And the same thing about the sacrifices. That old covenant had those animal sacrifices every day. They could go if they wanted to, I suppose, and they could get there early in the morning and later in the evening. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they could see a lamb slain on the Day of Atonement. They could see that whole ceremony. But Christ, the sacrifice that is associated with this new covenant, is invisible. We can't see that. We've never seen his blood. Not at all. They were accustomed to seeing these sacrifices. Sacrifices of animals, which we know their blood could never remove sin. But all of those sacrifices, and there were many of them, they were all replaced by his one offering for sin forever. And then they were accustomed to seeing a great high priest. A great high priest. I was reading just the other day in some of the history between the Testaments and still, again, I read where Alexander the Great, when he came with his armies, he came up to Jerusalem, and the high priest went out to meet him and speak to him, dressed in that beautiful robe, and Alexander was so impressed that he did not destroy the temple. He did not ransack Jerusalem. It was a beautiful robe. But we have a great high priest. But we don't see him. We see him by faith. But we know that he's there at the right hand of God. He's there tonight making intercession. Now you and I, we are aware that many false religions that go under the name of Christianity, they pander to the natural man's desire for that which is visible, for that which is tangible. They pander to man's desire. And all men pretty much by nature, desire to see something, to feel something, to smell something. What's the purpose in these services, in places like I'm talking about, to burn the candles? And what does that have to do when we have electric lights which give much better light than candles ever did? What's the purpose of burning candles? And you ask people and they say, well, it just makes me feel good. Or the burning of incense. Now, when you read the Old Testament, that law that was given at Mount Sinai to Moses, you see that incense was very, very important. In fact, there was a death penalty attached to anyone who would make that incense. It was a special recipe that was only to be used with the worship in the tabernacle. But today they go around burning incense, walking around what they call an altar there. We have an altar, but our altar's in heaven. It's not down at the front of some church building. But what I'm saying is religion, many marks of religion pander to man's natural desires to see something, something that's visible. But everything about the new covenant is invisible. And that's the definition of faith that the apostle gives us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This emphasizes to you and I tonight the need of faith. It is faith that enables us to see the invisible. We see Christ. We see Him, but we see Him by faith. We don't see Him with these natural eyes. But we see Him. It's faith that enables us to see these invisible things. I see Him by faith at the right hand of God tonight, making intercession for us. We've never seen into heaven. I've never seen into heaven. I don't think you have either. But we know by faith that it is a real place. Remember years ago when that cosmonaut, wasn't it? First man up into space, a Russian, he came back and he said, I've been into the heavens and I didn't see God. That proved to him, I guess there isn't a God. Well, the heavens, he just got up into part of the heavens. I mean, the heavens, the heaven of heavens, where God's throne is, the natural man doesn't see into that place. But we see it by faith. We know it's a real place. We did not, and we never have seen the Lord Jesus Christ with these physical eyes. We've never seen Him. We didn't see Him dying upon the cross. But we know by faith, and we see by faith. We see by faith. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And by faith we see. We see Christ. We see, we know that in the fullness of the time, miracle of miracles, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. We see that. He did not come. He did come, rather, to conquer sin, death, and the grave. And we have never seen Him in heaven making intercession for us. But faith gives substance. It gives substance for the things hoped for. Look at verse 27 here in chapter 11. This is pointed out about Moses. In verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now notice, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He saw by faith, just like you do, just like I do. By faith we see. Also, turn to 1 Peter. Look over here at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. First Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, we've never seen Christ, but we love Him. We love Him. Why? Because we've seen Him by faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Faith allows us to see spiritual realities and to trust in the reality of those things. Now, a definition, I said, here's a definition of faith. But remember this, a definition of saving faith must include trust. It must include trust if it's saving faith. The devils, James tells us, the devils believe and tremble. They're not saved. So it's not only seeing, it is seeing, but it is also trusting. Trusting. We see and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith enables us to see and to trust. We trust in Christ. We trust in His finished work on the cross. Second, verse 2, we are told that it is by faith that the elders obtained a good report. Now, the elders spoken of in this verse are not the elders that are normally spoken of in these New Testament letters. The elders in the New Testament letters were pastors and teachers. But these elders here refers to the Old Testament believers, those who lived and believed in Christ before He actually came in the flesh. And a few of them are mentioned in this chapter. And they're not all men. They're not all men, because women also are mentioned. And they were not all necessarily old in age. Some of them were younger people. The one thing true of them all, whether they were man or woman, young or old, the one thing that was true of them all, and that is they look forward by faith to the coming of the promised one. And they trusted Him and His work of redemption. That's how they were saved. They received a good report. A good report. Everybody likes to get a good report card when you're in high school or when you're in school. They got a good report. They got a good report. How? By faith. By trusting in the One who was to come and His finished work. Now the third verse, we see we understand by faith two things about creation. First of all, we understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, we're all familiar with the fact that the eternal Son of God is called the Word, the Logos. And by Him all things were created. We're told that. You know this verse very well in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's speaking of the eternal Son of God, the Logos, the Word that was in the beginning with God, the Word who is God. Also look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by Him... Well, let me begin reading up above that. Speaking of Christ, in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now notice, for by Him, that is the eternal Son of God, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, all things were created by him and for him. So this verse of scripture tells us that by faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. But this word here in our text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 is not the word logos. It is the word which means utterance. Utterance. We understand by faith that in the work of creation, God spoke. If you look in Genesis chapter 1 sometimes and just look at the several times, I believe it's 6 times, where we read, God said, God said, God said, God said, let there be, and there was. So this verse of scripture here is reminding us that by faith, we didn't see the creation, of course, neither did any other living man, or any man, period. We sang that hymn a while ago about the angels singing on creation's morning. The angels were created before man was. But God, we understand by faith two things about creation. We understand that everything that was created, the space and time and everything, because there was a point when there was nothing but God. That's hard to take in, isn't it? That's just above our mind's ability to really comprehend. But there was a point when there was nothing. There wasn't space. There wasn't time. There were no stars, no universe, nothing except God. And God was happy. God didn't need anything. He didn't. He's self-sufficient in himself. And yet, by faith, we understand that he spoke, and he spoke the worlds into existence. And number two, by faith, we understand that the world was made out of nothing. You read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness over the deep. That we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. That everything that was created out of nothing. Matter, this is what some of the Greek philosophers taught, that matter is also eternal. But God alone is eternal. And what we see and what we understand by faith about creation is that out of nothing, God created all that there is. He created by speaking the word. And isn't it interesting to see that not only did he create all things, but he created all things for himself. For himself. Now, I should remind us as we think about faith, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by hearing. We hear the word of God, and God the Holy Spirit creates and works and gives us faith. That's one reason it's so important for every believer to read the word of God and to hear the word of God, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. May the Lord bless this time that we've had here tonight. Brother Bill, you come, if you will, and lead us in a hymn.